Thank you very much. Thank you, Chris. Thanks for those kind and personal words. And the people of Indiana are greatly served by your role on our cabinet and your leadership of the Office of Management and Budget, and working alongside the Department of Revenue and Mike Alley. Why don't we give Mike Alley and Chris Atkins a round of applause for a great conference today. Mike, thanks. Great job. This has been an invigorating conversation already. And given my longstanding friendship with our keynote speaker at lunch, I know that it's really going to get invigorating in a few minutes. I want to share with you a few thoughts as our guest gets ready to come to the podium, and I'll have a more formal introduction of him. But let me just express a word of appreciation to all of those that you have brought your diverse experience and expert perspective to this conversation today. When we first conceived of bringing together experts in tax policy from around the state and a few noteworthies from around the country, we had hoped for exactly the kind of thoughtful discussion that's already taken place today. And let me just say to all of those that have participated in our panels and our breakout sessions and all that will participate, thank you for bringing your expertise to bear on the future of the state that works. Let's give all of our participants a round of applause. And I'm also very grateful to be joined. We have a number of public officials in the room, including a very good turnout from the Indiana General Assembly, which to members of the House and Senate, including some of our top leadership, our top fiscal leadership in the House and Senate that are with us here today. We're grateful to have you present and look forward to the work that the legislature is doing and that we're all going to be continuing to do in a collaborative way on behalf of the people of Indiana. I did get up early this morning. Al Hubbard opened up this morning mentioning the fact that it's not my preference to have 8 a.m. meetings, since your governor is usually out well into the evening on your behalf. But, boy, what a great and invigorating discussion today. So many good points I'll reflect on in a moment. But there were also a lot of good jokes. I particularly enjoyed Al Hubbard quoted Will Rogers this morning. Art, if you hadn't heard this one yet, I'd be shocked out of my mind that Will Rogers said the difference between death and taxes is death doesn't get worse every time Congress meets. And I think it was Jim Eads who quoted Arthur Godfrey. And Jim, where are you hiding out? You're in here somewhere. Jim, thanks. That quoted Arthur Godfrey. He said, I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to pay my taxes, but I could be just as proud paying less. And so I decided before I came over and shared a few thoughts to look up a few of my own here. And they're not really very good, but they are. They were all available in large numbers on the Internet. The American people have very strong opinions, apparently, about taxes. America is the land of opportunity. Everybody can become a taxpayer. Children may be deductible, but they're still taxing. And there's no child so bad that he or she can't be used for an income tax deduction. The attitude of Congress toward hidden taxes is not to do away with them, but to hide them better. Golf is a lot like taxes, one wrote. Golf is a lot like taxes. You drive hard to get to the green, then you wind up in the hole. It's not going to get any better, folks, so if you want to just go ahead and start laughing now. Nothing makes a person more modest about their income than to fill out a tax form. What the country needs is an SPCTT, the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Taxpayers. And lastly, this one actually made me laugh, a harp is a piano after taxes. Now, that might be worth a round of applause, because I know you're going to use that one. But to everyone who's gathered here today, welcome. Thank you. We're honored to have so many distinguished leaders in tax policy gathered today. The truth of the matter is our state for now nearly a decade has been making extraordinary progress. And it has been driven in large part by the progress that we've been making in tax reform and in tax relief in the state of Indiana. And I want to speak to you about that, because our goal really today was to bring together the best minds from across the Hoosier State and some across the country to fuel the next decade of tax reform, and particularly in the area of tax simplification, which has been so well reflected on by the panels that I attended this morning. John Ketzenberger made comments this morning about the importance of tax simplification. Jim Eads the same. Grover Norquist the same. And so, I'm anxious to continue to have the dialogue today, and then to examine the recommendations, as I know members of the General Assembly who are here will do in the weeks and months ahead, as we think about ways that we can bring about tax reform and tax simplification in ways that will improve the lives of Hoosiers. Because, see, ultimately, the issue of taxes goes to the heart of our economic life. In today's competitive national and global economy, we need to ensure that our state's tax policy is conducive to economic growth. With economic growth comes rising per capita GDP, rising personal income, and we need both in Indiana, despite all the progress we're making. First, let me say a few things in the category of the obvious. Taxes affect every business, every community, and most importantly, every family in our state. As we heard all morning, a well-designed tax structure should be simple, should be stable, should be transparent, and it should be fair. It should reward hard work, encourage investment and job growth. It needs to provide stable revenues for all levels of government, but also allow our families to keep as much of their hard-earned dollars as possible. With these principles in mind, my question to all of you from the outset of this conference is really very simple. How can Indiana, very simple, how can Indiana create the simplest, fairest, and most competitive tax structure in America? That should be our aim here in the state that works. Now, we've been working hard to improve our tax climate in recent years, and some of you of our guests from out of state might enjoy a little bit of an overview. With the strong support of a pro-growth majority in the House and the Senate, we've been passing significant tax relief both before and during the advent of our administration. Since I became governor, we signed into law more than $600 million in annual tax relief. To help our families, we eliminated death taxes. We lowered individual income taxes by 5%. To help our businesses, we reduced the corporate tax rate and the financial institution tax rate, which will result in Indiana, when it's fully implemented, having one of the lowest corporate tax rates in America. And to help our cities and towns, we gave local communities options to lower the business personal property taxes. With these improvements, Indiana, when they're all fully into effect, I'm proud to say Indiana will be the lowest taxed state in the Midwest. And I'm going to put that on all the welcome to Indiana signs facing Michigan and Ohio and Kentucky and Illinois and Illinois and Illinois and Illinois. Because of these efforts also, during our administration and that of our predecessor, Indiana's tax system now ranks as the 10th best in the nation, according to the Nonpartisan Tax Foundation. So we've taken a lot of good steps together. But I think it's important that we think about the next step and the next chapter of tax reform and tax relief in the Hoosier State. And in that category, I think it's time for us to think hard and long in Indiana about how we can simplify and streamline Indiana's tax code. Now, we heard, I think Al Hubbard quoted Albert Einstein this morning, saying that the hardest thing to understand in the world is the income tax, which, coming from Albert Einstein, is a pretty amazing statement. According to the Progressive Policy Institute, Indiana has one of the most complex tax codes in America. Since 1993, Indiana's individual tax return form has quintupled in size, from 2 pages to 10. The tax instruction booklets have more than doubled in size, from 28 pages to 60 pages. That's not the kind of progress that we want to see in the Hoosier State. Tax complexity imposes real costs on families. Based on data from the IRS, the average individual Hoosier taxpayer spends about 12 hours and $210 to prepare their federal tax forms. Nationally, Americans spend roughly 6.1 billion hours of time and another $31.7 billion on tax software and other out-of-pocket costs to comply with our federal tax code. Everyone needs an education, but millions of Americans should not have to get law degrees, PhDs, or be a CPA in order to do their own taxes. How much better off would we be if we could spend that time on our families or on growing our businesses, large and small? Since the earliest days of our republic, our leaders have recognized the value of simplicity in our tax system. 1784, Thomas Jefferson wrote these words to James Madison. He said, quote, "Would it not be better to simplify the system of taxation rather than to spread it over such a variety of subjects and pass the money through so many new hands?" A contemporary observation by Thomas Jefferson. We all know the Founding Fathers hated the concept of taxation without representation. I'm really not sure how much they'd like how we've handled taxation with representation on a lot of levels. Indiana today imposes more than three dozen separate and distinct tax types, each with its own rate and regulatory regime. We tax personal income and corporate income. We tax real property and business personal property. We tax the fuel used in motor vehicles. We tax hotel stays and tickets to sporting events. We tax the sale and use of products and utilities. And that's really just a start. Now, while many of these taxes are necessary and dedicated to specific and important programs, each one does add another layer of complexity to the system. I was pleased to work with the General Assembly in 2013 to completely eliminate the inheritance tax. And we're always going to look for opportunities to eliminate and simplify taxes that remain on our books. But our tax system is also marked with a number of inconsistencies. I'll give you a few for instances in that. I mean, sometimes we tax products in one place but not another. If you go to a movie at a theater, you don't pay sales taxes. But if you buy a DVD of the same movie at a store, you do. If you buy a pizza at a restaurant, you pay sales taxes. But if you buy a frozen pizza from the grocery store, you don't. If you buy a lawnmower, you pay sales taxes, but if you hire somebody to mow your lawn, you don't pay. Other times, we tax the same product more than once. Motor vehicles are subject to sales taxes and annual excise taxes. A trip to a restaurant can result in sales taxes and food and beverage taxes. Contrast our tax code with the views of Thomas Jefferson, who wrote that, quote, "taxes on consumption like those on capital or income to be just must be uniform." And certainly here and in every other jurisdiction in the country, that can hardly be described as the case. Indiana's tax code not only conflicts with the vision of simplicity set out by our founding fathers, it also, I would offer to you, has not kept pace with the realities of commerce in the 21st century. The foundation of Indiana's tax laws dates back to the 1950s, more than a half century ago. And in today's economy, these tend to lead to confusion and uncertainty. For example, Indiana is the only state in the nation that still uses an outdated test which dates from the 1930s, to determine when farmers and manufacturers have to pay sales tax on certain purchases. On a weekly basis, this test confuses and infuriates taxpayers. This type of complexity forces companies to devote time and money into compliance and litigation rather than serving their customers or innovating for the future. Now, some of our tax laws actually discourage companies from bringing jobs to Indiana. I'll give you a for instance. Indiana right now taxes certain income based on where the company incurs the costs rather than where the company earns the income. As a result, our tax law creates an incentive for companies to locate facilities and jobs in other states while selling their goods and services to Hoosiers without paying income taxes here. This law not only costs Hoosier jobs, it effectively punishes Indiana-based companies that choose to locate their operations here in our state. And which brings me really to one more fundamental value, and it's something that we heard our two kickoff programs here address, and that's the issue of fairness. Now, I remember my late father used to say, you know, life isn't fair. You know, the fair is what comes to the county in July, right? But I do think fairness ought to be a lodestar for how we organize a tax system. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan, who our featured speaker at this luncheon worked closely with, delivered a speech to the nation calling for sweeping legislative changes to the federal tax code. He said these words that still resonate today. He noted that the tax system had become, and I quote, "complicated, unfair, cluttered with gobbledygook and loopholes." That's rhetoric I can get behind at the national level. Over time, Indiana's tax laws, unfortunately, have also become too complex and less transparent. Too often, tax carve-outs distort the flow of capital and labor and put government in the improper position of picking winners and losers in the marketplace. In the long run, these types of policies also harm businesses themselves and sow the seeds of economic stagnation. As Mankiw Olson explained in his book, The Rise and Decline of Nations, and as experience around the globe has confirmed, subsidies and preferences tend to corrode the foundation of a free economy. As a number of our panelists said this morning, tax carve-outs also tend to diminish the confidence of the average American in the fundamental fairness of a tax system. When respect for the law fades, voluntary compliance with the law deteriorates. In Washington, the federal government is seeking to hire thousands of new tax collectors to enforce complex laws that people struggle to understand. But I truly believe that by simplifying our tax code, by making it more fair, more obviously fair to more Hoosiers, Indiana will actually increase voluntary compliance and also reduce the costs that taxpayers incur as they try and navigate the current system. So today I rise before our truly memorable lunch speaker to repeat the calls of those that have gone before for a tax system that treats all taxpayers fairly. I believe by simplifying our tax system, we will create a more level playing field for all businesses and all taxpayers in Indiana, and we will create an environment where growth, the kind of unbridled growth that we all hope and aspire to see in Indiana, can occur for our children and grandchildren. I think any tax system has to ensure a stable, sustainable funding for all levels of government. Any tax system must preserve incentives for businesses to invest in plants and jobs. We must keep in mind that any tax on business is ultimately passed on to the consumer. But however you slice, people pay taxes, whether directly to the government or through higher prices for goods or services. So our job, I believe, in Indiana should be to design a tax system that satisfies the legitimate needs of government as efficiently as possible while preserving every incentive for the private sector to invest in the future and create jobs and opportunities for Hoosiers. That should be our aim. Not that any of this will be easy. As we introduce this topic, as we begin a discussion among Hoosiers about tax reform, particularly in the area of tax simplification, I know it'll take focus and it'll take some courage for us to think fresh and think anew. But I think focus and courage are the order of the day. Focus is that we need to stay focused on the people of Indiana and making sure that here in Indiana, as we continue to set the pace in job creation, in attracting a labor force, setting the pace in government effectiveness and efficiency, that we need to continue to lead with fresh ideas that are focused on expanding opportunities for our people. We also need to be focused in our discipline, that as we think about tax reform, we make it very clear that this is not about raising revenues for the state government. We're going to be sharpening our pencils just as hard to find greater efficiencies in state government. This is not about raising taxes. This is about reforming taxes and improving a tax system to create growth and opportunity for Hoosiers. And lastly, this will take some courage to be able to stand in the pocket and say to the people of Indiana, we can do better. That a tax code mired in the 1950s is probably not well suited for the 21st century in the information age, and that it's time for us to think fresh and think new about how we lessen the tax burden on Hoosiers, particularly in the area of compliance and complexity, and understand that in doing so, we'll lay a foundation for prosperity and a boundless American, boundless future for the people of Indiana. Now, later this summer, the Commission on Business Personal Property and Business Taxation is also going to consider ways to improve Indiana's tax system. They'll be considering specific legislative proposals for the next session, and I humbly submit to the members of the General Assembly who are gathered here today that you carefully review and consider the proposals and ideas discussed at today's conference as you come together to think about those policies and proposals. And I pledge to you that we'll work together with you to think about how we can design a tax system for 2015 and beyond, rather than 1950 and before. I believe we must create a tax structure for the modern economy of today and tomorrow, not the economy of yesteryear. And by modernizing and simplifying our tax system, I do believe we can move Indiana from good to great. I'll quote Ronald Reagan one more time before I introduce his old protege. President Reagan said when he sat out a vision for an effective tax system, quote, The tax system is crucial not just to our personal, material well-being and our nation's economic well-being. It must also reflect and support our deeper values and highest aspirations. It must promote opportunity, lift up the weak, strengthen the family, and perhaps most importantly, it must be rooted in the unique American quality, our special commitment to fairness. Timeless words that have been resonated throughout the podiums today. So with your help and with the help of legislators gathered here and with the strong support of the people of Indiana, I truly believe our state can come together and bring about the kind of reforms in our tax code that will serve ourselves, that will grow our economy, and that will continue to make Indiana recognized everywhere as a state that works for our families and for our businesses and for all of our people. Thank you very much.